Good morning, everyone. Welcome all of you that are visiting with us today. We're delighted that you're here, and we trust and pray that you'll come back and be with us tonight. This is the fifth Sunday of the month, isn't it, Al? And we look forward to Al preaching for us tonight. In the reading of the Scriptures this morning, we read where, and thanks, John, for doing such a good job. We read here about a man. About a man that's called Zacchaeus. And in this context, we learn something about the mission of our Lord. In answer to the question, why did Jesus come to the earth? Why did the Lord leave heaven above, come down to the earth, take the form of a man, and then to live a godly life, a perfect life, and allow men to murder or kill him, crucify him upon the cross? In the conclusion of the reading, in verse 10, we get our answer. For the Son of Man is come. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. It was a very serious thing with God, a very serious thing with Jesus, when a person lives upon the earth and then dies and has no hope of an eternity with them, not being able to enjoy the blessings of heaven after a while. And so God emptied, and God so loved the world, John 3:16, gave His only begotten Son, and His Son was willing to die. And He did that. He came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus entered, passed through Jericho. There was a man named Zacchaeus, which is the chief among the publicans. He was a rich man. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, guess what? He looked up and he saw him. Saw Zacchaeus. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. For today, I must abide at your house. What would you do? To hear the master respond by saying, hey, I'm going home with you. I'm going with you. The Bible says he made haste. He came down. And he received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. Why would Jesus do such a thing? Why would he go with Zacchaeus, who is a sinner? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, what did Zacchaeus say? This is what he said. Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I don't know of anybody that does that. Do you? Have you ever done that? Half of your goods. Give it away to somebody that can't give it back to you. Half of your goods that you've given to the poor. And then he says, not only is that true, Lord, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I tell you what I will do, I'll restore it fourfold. You ever done that? If I've taken something from you falsely, then I'll return it to you and I'll make it four times what I took from you. And what did Jesus say about this man? And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Salvation, which is worth more than all the world. Being saved, going home, being able to have that hope of eternity with God. It's more important than everything in all the world. And this man was a rich man. And then Jesus answered our question, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Friends, some people, when I put that down on that screen, I said, that's not right. And so I added to it. No, not some people, but many people. Many are lost. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, verse 12, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You've got the expression many and few. Many are lost. Why did Jesus come to the earth? To seek and to save that which is lost. And Jesus said there's going to be many that are lost. There's only few that will be saved. Lost. Eternally. And let me make it very clear. When I make a statement, I want to make sure that I punctuate it with the Word of God. I know that's true. It's not because I want it to be true. I know it's true because God says it's true. God says that the majority of the people are going to be lost. And what we're saying in the lesson today regarding us, are we going to be saved or are we going to be lost? Because once you leave this earth, you leave this body, the destiny of your soul is fixed. You don't have another opportunity. You may never have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but if you leave this earth and your body is put in the earth, I'll tell you this morning from the word of the Lord, and I make no apology for it, because Jesus Christ says, I came to seek and to save those that are lost, but if they're not willing to obey me, they will be lost. Paul, writing in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, he said, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus came to save Paul. Well, many lost people are going to be lost. Well, they're all going to be lost. Who are they? And God doesn't want a single soul to be lost. Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. But there are people who will not obey Jesus. Number one, He's the Savior of them that obey Him. It's clear, can't be misunderstood. If you turn in your Bible to Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Out of his own mouth, he said, I will save those that obey me. What does that mean about those that won't obey him? They're going to be lost. What does it mean to be lost? Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord? You think you're going to stand in the day of judgment? Try to find mercy from God when He's given you all the mercy in this life. Am I going to be able to cry unto Him, Lord, Lord, and yet not even do what He tells me to do? Jesus wants everybody to be saved, but He's not going to save anyone unless they do what He says. That's out of His mouth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why the lost have to give an account for themselves. I don't have to give an account about my mother, about my daddy, about my children, about my wife. I have got to give an account. The soul that sinneth, in Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. When you leave this earth, your body is left here, and you leave it. Let me assure you, my friend, it will not be because of your mother, or because of your father, or because of something else. If you're lost, you will be lost because of you. Nobody else will be responsible, because the Bible tells us clearly, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Oh, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. And in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, sin separates us from God. So Jesus came to save you and to me. But the very reason that Jesus came to earth was to save us sinners. And look at the people that are lost. There was a man that had a son that was lost. If he'd stayed away from the Father's house, he would have never enjoyed the blessings of that father again. It was meet that we should make merry, the father said, when the prodigal son returned, and be glad, for this thy son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost. Terrible thing to be lost. But he was. He was separated from his daddy. No wonder we find in John 17, verse 12, while I was with him in the world, I kept him in thy name, Father. These that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Surely, We know why Jesus came. What does it mean to be lost? It means you're separated from God. Man, I tell you what, when you look at that, that ought to be enough to scare everybody in this building. Look what it says. Your sins have separated between you and your God, and His face is turned away from you that He will not hear. I'm preaching what God says in His Word because Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, it's your sin, my sin, that separates us from God. It means your prayers will not be heard and answered by God. How do we know that? It means you're not going to be in the kingdom of God, the church. You're not among those that are saved. How do we know that? God says it. In the Bible in Acts 2 and verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as be saved, and you're not in that church unless you've done what? You've obeyed the Lord, been baptized into Christ Jesus, and you're added. You go to God in prayer, but it's all useless and not any good at all. If you're still a sinner and not willing to change, if you're still one that rejects God, the Bible says very clearly. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, doeth His will, him He heareth. I mean, that's strong language, but it's God's language. And perhaps we need to get stronger. Let folks know something's going to happen to us if we reject God. If we don't get right with God. Being lost also means there's no hope for you in the next life whatsoever. Listen to what God says about that matter. Can you imagine in Ephesians 2 verses 12 and 13 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. What is it? God says, you don't have any hope. Why? Because you're a stranger. Because you've been separated from God. And the only way to get back with Him is to be baptized into Christ, be added to His kingdom, and stay in that kingdom and work and serve the Lord faithfully all the days of our lives. You who are sometime afar off and made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. There are people that are going to die, and people are going to be sorry that they're dead, but they don't have any hope. They don't have any hope because they're not in Christ Jesus. They're not even trying while they're living to do with the Lord's will. No wonder. He says to those who are children of God, I'm talking to you who have hope because there are those who have died, who sorrow, they cry, but it does them no good because there is no hope for them. Outside of Jesus, there is no hope. God says so. Write this down. If you're lost this morning, you'll never be granted entrance into heaven. And that's not what Guy McDaniel says from Guy McDaniel. That's what God says. You'll never see heaven itself. Why? How do we know this? Listen, in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die. You know you're going to die. I know I'm going to die. We're all. Everybody in this country knows we're going to die. We don't know when, but we know we are. The question is, what's going to happen to us when we die? God's told you. You don't have to guess about it. And if you don't want to tell people about it, that's your business, but I've got to. Why? Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this there is the judgment, and the judgment is from God. Who's going to be there? In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Listen, 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 folks. God said it. There is no hope for people. There will be no entrance to where God is. Heaven is such a perfect and wonderful place and prepared for those who've prepared themselves to go there. Now I want you to know something. I want you to observe something. In Matthew 25, verse 38, the Bible says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." I hate real, real darkness, don't you? Can you imagine being in a place where there is no light? There will never be any light. God calls it outer darkness. Who said that? The Lord. Who's going to be said to you and me if we're not ready and prepared to meet Him? There is no misunderstanding. What God says is so clear and so plain. For when you die, after this, God says there will be the judgment. And just think, you can't be with any of the righteous. I thought about that a whole lot, the angels. "Before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats," Matthew 25, 32 through 31. "And He shall set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left." You think He'll do it? Where will you be? Where will I be? Somebody says, "Brother God, don't talk like that. That hurts us." It hurts us. Yes. Why? Because we know what's going to happen if we don't do something about our soul. Why did Jesus come? He said He came to seek and to save those that are lost. "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I believe with all my heart that's going to be said to those who are ready, who are prepared, who are God's people and ready to spend eternity. But then on the other hand, I was listening to a man the other day who didn't believe you're going to burn forever. So he said, "How could that possibly be?" I'll tell you how it's going to be. There's no question about it. If you go to hell, you're going to burn forever. Who said that? Not me. That's what Christ said. Listen to what He says very clearly. "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand." Will He say that to anybody? Yes. Who to? To those on His left hand. He calls them cursed. "Ye cursed, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels and for you," if you're not ready and prepared to meet the Lord. I mean, it's a serious matter. I know He's right. I know He said it right. Because He told us exactly as it will be. And who is going to be the ones that have to suffer a burning, everlasting fire? Those who are separated, that are on the left hand. And whom does Jesus say they are? The many, many who have not entered the straight and the narrow way. And I guess that's probably the worst thing you probably think about, is to be in a fire that burns forever. "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, and everlasting." He said that. Read it in your Bible. You don't believe me. Read what He says. He said, that fire was prepared for the devil and his angels, but it's going to be prepared for you, for me, if we're not ready and prepared to meet the Lord. Lost? No wonder He said, get busy seeking the lost. For Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. What does the Lord require? Michael tells us, to do the will of the Lord. Michael chapter 6 through 8. I remember in Acts 2, 37, there were those who had killed Christ, crucified Christ. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told, about 3,000 did it. Saul himself had rejected Jesus until the Lord appeared to him. Remember? Acts 9, verse 6, whenever He appeared, what did Saul say? "Lord, what will You have me to do?" Remember Philip and the eunuch? And as they came to a certain water, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And we can't even get people today who know it's so convenient to get them to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of their sins. You remember that man named Felix? When the Lord reasoned, or rather the Bible tells us that Paul reasoned with Felix, He reasoned with righteousness and judgment to come. Felix trembled. But that's not enough. You can tremble. You can shake. You can get mad. You can leave. You can do all those different things. But that will not change your condition. Felix trembled and said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." How many people will be in hell because they made that statement? Remember? Remember what the Bible has to say. Here was King Agrippa. And he was listening to Paul. And you know what he said? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I want to tell you tonight, this morning, in language you can't misunderstand, almost will not get you there. It didn't with Agrippa. It doesn't do it with a mother or father or son or daughter, husband or wife today. You've got to be altogether persuaded, and you've got to obey God in order to please the Lord. Knowing what Jesus wants you to do, what they hinder you from doing it? Now, a lot of people got all kinds of excuses. My friend, if you knew you weren't going to be here next Sunday, what would you do this Sunday? Would that cause you to do something about your soul? What would cause you to do something about your soul if you're not ready to meet God this morning? Matt Taylor's doing a great job in teaching our young people. And I called him. And I said, "Matt, I want those slides you're using. So simple. Listen to it. What is God's plan of salvation? Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. What does the Lord tell us to do in order to be saved? Number one, to hear with your ear and with your heart. So then faith cometh by hearing." Write it down. Romans 10:17. "And hearing by the word of God." When you listen to God, and you listen to the words that are spoken by the Lord, I want to tell you something. You can't make it any, change it any easier. You might get somebody to tell you that you don't have to worry about your soul. And yet in your own heart, if you read what he says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." You know and I know, it's me. I'm the one that have to make the decision. Hearing, and then the Bible says to believe what you hear. Why can't we get people to believe in Jesus today? A whole lot of it is because people who say they believe in Jesus don't even live like they ought to. And a lot of times they use us as the excuse. "Well, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, why aren't you doing this or that? Why aren't you measuring up better?" And it's a lot of truth in that. But look, "For if you believe not that I am He, you shall," what? I could ask these children in that class. They can tell you. And what they're telling you is what Jesus said. And I believe it with all my heart. "If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sin." I mean, you're going to be separated forever because you're separated from God now because of sin. "You believe not that I'm He, you should die in your sins." Then repent. What will get people to change? What will get people to come to repentance? Then Peter said unto them, those people to whom he had already preached to, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Do what? Do you think for a moment that you're going to have forgiveness of sin? That you're going to go to heaven if you don't do what he says? The Bible says there were those people. They were pricked in their heart. And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized." That same day in verse 41, the Bible says there were about 3,000 souls that believed it. And that day, 3,000 baptisms. 3,000! Who did what? My friends, with their life, they confessed with the mouth that Jesus is the Christ, because whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Guess what then? Baptism, baptism, baptism. Why? They want to go to heaven. I do too. Why were you baptized? You want to go to heaven. Can I be baptized for you? No. Can you be baptized for me? No. When shall I be baptized? When I get ready, if I'm a sinner and I want to be forgiven of my sins and go to heaven. That's when you can be on your way. Look what the Bible says. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's no other way you're going to ever get into Christ other than being baptized into Jesus Christ. And here's the big one. Remain. Remain faithful to the Lord. Be thou faithful unto death, and Jesus shall give thee the crown. I believe Him with all in my heart. There have been times perhaps some of us have said, you know, I can't make it. I may as well give up. That's what the devil wants you to say. We can make it. If we do what? If we believe in Christ, we're going to hold. We're going to hold fast to Him. We're going to be faithful. Are you saved or lost? As you are right now where you're sitting. If suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ were to come, would He confess you or would He deny you? And who is the one that makes that decision? We take for granted so much in this old life. Seeking the lost is a song, 574. Doing what? Going afar. Doing everything you can to do what? To comply with what the Bible says that Jesus said. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Guy McDaniel lived a long time. Preached many sermons. Won't do me a bit of good. If I'm not faithful, if I don't do myself what I know the Lord teaches us all to do. Be thou faithful. Some of us, friends, maybe we've given up. We need to be reminded of the precious words of the Lord. He has spoken His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This morning there's an invitation song that I love to sing. Just as I am, we're asking you to come. If you've never been baptized, here is water, clothing, everything necessary. When will you do what the Lord tells you you must do if you want to go to heaven when you die? If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus to be baptized, why not now? What will you do about your soul? If you're a child of God, you know already, if you were to die today, you wouldn't be in heaven. Just think of what's going to happen to those that are lost. And that's going to be me if I haven't lived in keeping with the Lord's will. Just as I am, we're singing. If you're subject anyway to His invitation and we can help you in any way, love Jesus Christ, love your soul, and be willing to obey Him. Right now, while together we stand and while we sing.